Okay, let's relax now. Let your mind go wherever you want it to go. I got something I want to read to you, and I want to ask you to just close your eyes and hear as much of it as you can as the meditation. So if you want to drift away, if you want to go somewhere else in your mind, it's fine. Money is energy, and energy exists in all realms. As you become more skilled at manifesting, you will learn to consciously choose what you want to create and then draw it to you. Situations and objects will come into your life simultaneously with your need for them. You can learn to master money rather than be mastered by it. Through your mastery, you will also allow situations and objects to leave your life gently and easily when you no longer need them, creating room for the next things that will serve you. There will be a natural flow of money, people, and things into and out of your life, and each will serve your higher purpose, and it will all appear exactly at the right time. New times are coming. Mankind is awakening to superconscious reality. And people will be experiencing an opening and intensification of their higher nature. In the times that are coming, you will be stimulated to express your higher self, also called your soul, the deepest part of your being, or the God within in everything you create. You will want the place you live, the items you buy, your relationships and your lifestyle to reflect your higher ideals and values. In the way you earn and spend money, you will be seeking to express your higher qualities of love, well-being, happiness, peace, aliveness, and awareness of who you are deep within. These new times will bring with them a tremendous creativity. And an influx of ideas. The ways money may be made and held are changing. Money and abundance will flow in greater amounts, be easier to hold, and give you more joy when you follow the spiritual laws of money. You follow the spiritual laws of money when you do your life's work and honor and serve the higher good of others. You follow the spiritual laws when you cooperate rather than compete with others, making every energy and money exchange a winning situation for everyone involved. You follow the spiritual laws of money when the way you make, spend, or invest money does not harm the earth. You can join the new energies and align with your higher self by acting on your feelings and moving with the current, learning when to be active and learning when to surrender. You can increase the flow of money, objects, and things you want into your life by operating with more clarity, joy, harmony, and integrity, trusting that everything that happens is for your higher good. As you identify and let go of old situations that no longer serve you, as you open to new opportunities, thoughts, perceptions, and feelings, you will follow the higher energy of your soul, allowing the higher energy of your soul to flow through you. Then money and abundance will come to you naturally and easily without effort or struggle. The things you will create can bring you growth, expansion, renewal, and aliveness. Finding and creating your life's work will bring you more abundance than any other single action you can take. Finding and creating your life's work will bring you more abundance than any other single action you can take. Your life's work will involve doing what you love to do and will in some way make a contribution to the higher good of mankind. Money will be a byproduct of doing what you love. Money will flow effortlessly into your life without even much thought. Many of you shun the path of your greatest creativity, joy, and aliveness, thinking that you will not be able to make enough money from your greatest creativity, joy, and aliveness. We want to help you believe that you can have the abundance of money doing what you love to do. We want you to recognize that you do not have to stay in jobs that do not serve you. We will help you look at how to make the transition between being where you are now and where you want to be. We have devoted information to showing you how to create a vision of your path and how to draw to you your life's work. We will show you many energy techniques to activate your higher path. Each one of you who have been called here is on a path of accelerated personal growth, and you have much to offer mankind, whether or not you are aware of it. Now is the time to listen to your inner messages and discover the special work you came here to do. Begin to put that work out to the world, for it is very much needed. As you serve and empower others, find your life's work and do what you love. As you serve and empower others, find your life's work and do what you love rather than what you think will bring you money. As you serve and empower others, find your life's work and do what you love rather than what you think will bring you money. You will become highly magnetic to money. As you serve and empower others, find your life's work and do what you love rather than what you think will bring you money. You will become highly magnetic to money. These new times will provide you with many opportunities to discover and fulfill your life's purpose, supporting all your efforts to put your work out to the world. Even a small step toward your higher path will bring rich rewards and result. You can learn to create what you want using energy and thought rather than physical effort. You can learn to create what you want using energy and thought rather than physical effort, and produce results that go far beyond anything you can create with physical effort alone. If you are willing to listen and take action on your inner guidance, you will do well no matter what the economy around you is doing. If you are willing to listen to your inner guidance, if you are willing to take action based on listening to your inner guidance, you will do well no matter what the economy around you is doing. You are being sent all the guidance you need to have abundance. And you will be provided for during economic downturns. If people lose their jobs or a lot of money, it will only be because those things are not for their higher good. Such events will change their lives in some way for the better. If anything is truly serving your higher good, it won't be taken away. You are the source. It's natural, and it's time for you to become abundant now. It's time for you to discover what you really want. And it's time for you to magnetize what you want. We place the future in the hands of God. I place my future in the hands of God. I place my future in the hands of love. I place my future in the hands of love. I place my future in the hands of love. I place my future in the hands of God. Thank you. Do you mind turning the light up? Beautifully. That's the keys to abundance. Yep. That's it. Okay. We're going to be talking about the truth behind illusions first on page 633 in the Course in Miracles text. I'd like to invite you to use whatever you can out of what I say. And whatever you can't use, just let it go. That's the only instruction. It's called the truth behind illusions. You will attack what doesn't satisfy. Whatever doesn't satisfy you, you will attack it. And so you won't see that you made it up. You will attack what doesn't satisfy. But by attacking which doesn't satisfy you, you don't see that you're the one that's making it up. You always fight illusions. You always fight false ideas. For the truth behind the illusions or the fears or the false ideas or the anger, the Course calls all that illusions. It says the truth behind them is so lovely and so still in loving gentleness. Were you aware of the truth behind the thing that you're upset about? If you were aware of the truth behind the illusion, you would forget defensiveness entirely and you would rush to its embrace. If you realize what was behind what you're upset about, you rush to meet it. And you attack the things in your life that don't satisfy you, but you don't realize that by getting mad at it, it keeps you from seeing you're the one that's making it up. So the purpose of anger is to hide the fact that you're the one that's making yourself angry. The truth can never be attacked. And you knew this was true when you made idols, which the Course defines as your fears or your false ideas. The things that you upset about, your idols, were made that this may be forgotten, that you made it up. So you attack but false ideas. You never attack truthful ones. And what is an idol? An idol is a false idea that you've made up to fill the gap you think arose between yourself and what's true. I'll say it again. An idol is just a false idea that you've made up to fill the gap you think arose between you and what's true. And you attack them for the things you think they represent. But what lies beyond what you attack cannot be attacked. The wearying, dissatisfying gods you made are blown up children's toys. I'll say it again. All the stuff that's wearying and dissatisfying are just blown up children's toys. A child is frightened when a wooden head springs up as a closed box is opened suddenly. A child is frightened when a soft and silent woolly bear begins to squeak when the child takes hold of it. The rules the child made for boxes and for bears have failed the child and have broken the child's so-called control of what surrounds them. And the child is afraid because the child thought that the rules the child made up protected him. Now must the child learn that the boxes and the bears didn't deceive you. They broke no rules, nor mean your world is made chaotic and unsafe. You were mistaken. You misunderstood what made you safe and thought that what made you safe had left. This is a deep book, isn't it? So let me say this another way. Okay. When you're playing, when a child is playing with a box, and all of us, we used to call it a jack in the box when I was a kid, and all of a sudden the jack in the box spring up unexpectedly, then the child freaks out because the child wasn't expecting it, right? Okay, well, when you form relationships with people, for instance, I love it. You can even say this. He says, the child is frightened when a wooden head springs up as a closed box is opened suddenly, or when a soft and silent woolly person begins to squeak when you take hold of them and they freak you out. When you grab hold of somebody, you grab hold to a relationship, you grab hold to a toy, and you think it's going to act a certain way, or you think the person is going to act a certain way, and the court says, and then they don't. Then he says, the rules you made for the people around you have failed you and have broken your control of what surrounds you. When you make up in your mind how you think somebody should be and you think you have control of somebody else and they don't act the way that you expected them to, that's just like a bear squeaking when you grab hold to it and you weren't expecting it, or grabbing hold to a box and then having the head spring out of it when you least expect it, and you say stuff like, boy, I never expected that to happen. Boy, I never knew they was going to do that. That was them breaking the rules that you had made up for them according to what you thought they should be. They broke the rules you made up. In other words, they showed you that you didn't have any control over the things around you that you thought you had. And so I'm afraid now because I thought the rules that I made up between us protected me, right? Now I've got to learn you didn't deceive me. You didn't break any rules. You didn't deceive me, and you didn't break any rules just because you didn't keep the rules that I made up for you. Just because you don't act the way I want, just because you don't act the way I want you to act doesn't mean you deceive me. Just because I don't act the way you want me to act doesn't mean that I have done anything wrong. I just broke the rules that you made up for how I should act. But you're just taking that chance when you want to play with me. Just like the woolly bear, just like the jack in the box. We are all jack in the boxes. Y'all know we are. We'll let you play with us and we'll let you squeeze us, but we'll show pop up unexpectedly. And we'll do something you didn't expect us to do. And then you feel deceived and you get upset because we broke the rules that you made up for how you thought things were supposed to go. Y'all with me on this? The Course in Miracles is deep. I mean, it just tells it like it is. Whether I like it or not, it just tells it like it is. I mean, it's good if you would keep the rules that we've agreed and we made up. It'd be great if you kept the agreements that we made up. But the truth is, they're made up rules between us. And since they're made up rules between us, you can always disobey them. You can always break them. But you can't make up your mind tonight to go out there and defy the laws of gravity. Right? But you sure can defy any law that you've made up, or any rule that you've made up, or any agreement that you've made with another person, can't you? That's how you know they're not real. You can change it. And anything you can change isn't real. So anything that can change, there's always a possibility it's going to act in a way that you didn't expect because it's not anything that's real to begin with. It's not like we can just sit up here tonight and decide not to pee for 2 weeks. Unless you're a master. A master can do it. But the average person can't. But I can decide not to put the sweat on again. So it's a made up rule. And the book is saying that's why the child gets frightened. The child is playing, then the thing is playing with does something unexpected that the child freaks out because in his mind it wasn't supposed to do that. But the thing didn't really deceive the child. The child deceived themselves. People are not deceiving us. We're deceiving ourselves by coming up with all this imaginary control that we think we have over them that we don't. Have a nice day. This is deep. But the Court says, but you misunderstood what made you safe. You thought that what made you safe is left. In other words, to me, it means one way I can look at it is I misunderstood what can make me safe. I thought what can make me safe was the rules and control and everything around me. And I forgot that what can really make me safe is the laws of God, the truth, spirit. I thought that what really made me safe had left, which is my Creator. So since I'm not in touch with my Creator, then I'm going to make up rules for everyone around me and think that the rules that I made up, that's what's going to make me safe. That we think law is going to make us safe. And we see people break them all the time because they're not real. And people will always break laws. There'll never be a time that people won't break unreal laws. So we just do what? Come up with more laws. Instead of coming up with more love. Because if I love you, I'm going to do you right. If I love you, I'm going to do the right thing. If I love you, I'm going to look out for you. If I love you, I'm not going to want to club you. If I love you, I'm not going to want to rape you. If I love you, I'm not going to want to attack you. If I love you, I'm not going to want to cheat you. If I love you, I want you to eat. If I love you, I want you to be safe. There's not anything we're making up rules for that loving each other wouldn't solve, but everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it, and then they'll do it. Or I'll do it as soon as you obey the rules that I made up for my safety. And if you don't obey the rules that I made up for my safety, I'm not going to give you my love. So that means your rules are made up and your love is made up too. So I'll give you my made up love if you'll keep my made up rules. Ain't that deep? That's deep, man. I love it. So I'm going to go a little bit further. Now, before I go, any questions about that? About the point that the Court is making. Not that you have to believe it, not that you have to accept it. This class is not about you have to believe it. But did you get it?
It's just another way of talking about scripts. The same philosophy behind my script is not being acted out by you.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just another way of saying the same thing.
It's another way of saying the same thing. It says the same thing about a gazillion different ways, hoping that one of those ways will make a difference enough for me to do it. That's what I like about it. It just says the same thing a million different ways. No, it doesn't joke about that. It just says the same thing. I mean, the only reason why I studied the Course as opposed to other spiritual books was that for me, the Course in Miracles was the path that I wanted to do it. The other books said the same thing, but I just picked those books up, read them, and put them on the shelf and went to get the next one. I don't know about you. So I had a whole library full of books that I wasn't doing. I thought the answer to my problem was to just get more instructions. So I had a wall full of instructions.
So here's a whole
book. Yeah, it's just like saying, I'm going to build a house, going to Home Depot, getting some nails and some hammers and some stuff, and then throwing them on the floor and waiting for the house to be built. Okay, you looking there, you got the nails on the floor, the wood's on the floor, the hammer's on the floor, how come the house not being built? That's what I call reading the latest truth book. Okay, I got the latest set of instructions. I wonder why I'm not a better person. Oh, I know what it is. I need to go back and get some more hammers, some more nails, and some more wood. That's my next book I read. Y'all follow? So most people fall in love with instructions, and they'll come to you every week with the latest instruction book you need to read, as if that somehow is making things better. But that's because they're looking for the instruction that touches their soul enough for them to act on. And that's why I think it's cool. Because sooner or later, out of all the books that you read, you're going to come across the one that you're going to want to actually demonstrate. And that's your path. And so if you're searching from book to book to book to book, you just haven't found your path yet. And that's okay. Keep looking. Because you'll know your path. It'll be the one that you'll do, and you'll keep on doing it, even if it drives you berserk. Sometimes the Course in Miracles, I just want to take that book and just throw it off of a bridge. Yeah. And then it's too expensive. I don't know if I've heard the book up. But you know, some of y'all know exactly what I mean. You get frustrated, but you won't stop. Because it's your path. Some of us just need to get a message, and that's sufficient. And that's okay. So the Course in Miracles is very practical. Like the answers. Watch what it's going to say in the next paragraph. Because it's going to give you the answer to how not to go through hurt with people. And let's see how conscious we can stay for that. That'll be interesting.
Like a question. Now, like, you take my wife, and she doesn't please me at times, and she irritates me. So I don't, my so-called love for her is not real. But since I don't see you that often, you don't faze me one way or the other. So I actually do love you.
You're actually demonstrating more love for me by letting me be and by forgiving me. Yes, absolutely. I always tell people that if there's just about 9 or 10 people in your life or less that you really have a hard time with, then you really ought to be proud of yourself, because out of billions of people, you're down to the last 9 that you need for that. instead of feeling bad about yourself, you ought to be going, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm down to my last 9. You know, we be just, because most people always have under 10 people that they're using to make themselves unhappy. Usually it's under 5. Mm-hmm. Would they really be honest with you? They're usually always upset about 1 or 2 or 3 people. So that means out of all the people there is, you're down to 3 people that are not acting out your rules. And not only are they not acting out your rules, nobody else is either, but you don't care about that. Okay. And that's why you're cool with everybody else. They don't act out your rules, and you're all right with that. But the one you love, that's what I do, got to act out my rules. That's part of my love for you. And so I always wonder why people fall in love, which I think is a really funny kind of a term, fall in love with people who want to act according to different rules, even if they're going to make the rules up from what they like. That's just setting yourself up for a bunch of drama at the very beginning. But I see it all the time. The person that don't like, the person that's absolutely just feel like drinking is the biggest sin in the world, and marry the person that likes to drink. The person that's against drugs and they couldn't stand it, they're with the person that's getting the toke every night. You know what I'm saying? The introverts with the extrovert. The person that likes to dance is with the person who never does. The person that likes metaphysics is with the person who thinks it's of the devil. I always wonder why people do that. Why do you consciously choose to join with somebody who you can't let be without judging them and condemning them? It's just, I don't understand that.
I think sometimes it's because you settle, or because they do other things that you're going, oh, this really works for me. And so, okay, I guess I'll give that up because at least I have this.
If you truly did that, you'd have total peace with that person. If you really did that, you would not have any conflict with that person. Most people don't, though. They'll say, I'm accepting the part of them that we can do together, but they're busy trying to change the part that they don't like. But if you could really go, I'm going to join with you where we can join, and I'm going to forgive you and bless you and release you where we don't, you would have no problem. That's the thing. You know, if you would let that person, in other words, if we're coming back to the basics, right, which is let each other be. Let each other be. So really, the real thing, like if you have a wife that you have that kind of attachment to, then you really get to the point you realize that it's not your wife that's upsetting you, it's the script that you've written for your wife. And then you work on letting changing scripts, and you leave your wife alone, and then the amazing thing, your wife will probably change. It's amazing what happens. As soon as you own that what's upsetting you is yourself, then you've learned the lesson. And since you've learned the lesson, there's no need for you to continue to have a situation that's upsetting you. So the situation keeps repeating itself until I learn the lesson. But the lesson is that I'm the one who's doing it to myself. And until I learn that lesson, the lesson will keep repeating itself in a variety of forms and people and situations and circumstances. And I leave that person and go to another one and have the same thing and leave that person. Then people say, well, there's no need for me to leave this person because if I'm going to learn that lesson anyway, I just as well learn it with that person. Well, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can be so addicted to your perception of that person that you just can't let it go. And with a fresh person, you can do it and still learn the lesson. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you might go to another city, even though it's not necessary to go to another city in order to be happy, but you might have such deeply ingrained beliefs about you can't make it in this one that it would be a lot easier for you to go to L.A. and believe you got a lot of great opportunities and create them than to spend all your time hating Denver trying to make yourself love it so you can learn your lesson. So you can be happy. Why not go straight to happy? And so, you know, it's like little reasonable stuff like that just like blows my mind. You know what I'm saying? So the point of this particular paragraph was to get us to understand that what's upsetting us is not that anybody's deceiving us. What's upsetting us is that we're making up rules that people are breaking. And in the book is saying they will always break them. That's why you have to learn forgiveness, because there's not going to be anyone who's going to always act out your rules.
So if I don't learn how to forgive, I'm going to be mad all the time, right? Then I'm going to be so full of grievances that I block all my abundance, prosperity, and love, and then I'm miserable and I wonder why. So that's why forgiveness is the only lesson to learn here, because we're in a place where people don't know how to love, but they're learning. And if you're in a place where people don't know how to love, but they're learning, then mistakes are going to be made. And if I get upset about mistakes being made by people who don't know how to love yet, I'm going to be mad all the time, and I'm going to be full of grievances all the time, and I'm going to block my good. That's why forgiveness is practical. It keeps your rights from being violated. It keeps your good coming to you. If you let, if you go and let crazy people be crazy, you won't be upset all the time. You know, if you were to realize that in most cases, when we don't, the Court says if you've forgotten how to love each other and you've forgotten that you won, you're technically insane from a spiritual perspective. Then every time you get ready to form a relationship with someone, it's just like you're going out saying, I'm going to go to a mental institution and I'm going to fall in love with one of the inmates or the patients. And that's what you're doing every time you form a relationship with someone who doesn't know that love is the only answer and peace is the only thing that's truly valuable. You're dealing with a man, you're going to have to learn how to forgive, because there's going to be gaps in their love, and their love is going to be inconsistent because they don't know how to do it. So when they make a mistake, you got to know how to overlook that mistake so you won't stay mad all the time, because they're not going to be perfect because they don't know how to love any more than you do.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
So talking about this Denver, Colorado thing and the California thing, mm-hmm. here we are on the spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you know that in Denver, when you have your upset, when you're not happy and you're feeling, well, what I need to do is just go on and go to California, that part of that upset is about you staying in Denver and growing from that?
If you really took that attitude, then you would feel good about what, and you would give your peace away about whatever you were going through in Denver. If you really believed that, you wouldn't be upset about Denver, because you'd be looking at Denver as just giving you another opportunity to learn this lesson. Isn't that great? So you can tell whether or not a person is really seeing it that way by how much peace they're giving themselves in the situation that they're in. If you're in the situation where you're in a lousy marriage and you say, this is an opportunity for me to learn how to love, and I know this is a great opportunity, then you will not be miserable in that marriage. You just be looking at that person as giving you a million opportunities every day to go home to bliss. You look at that person, my doggone it, my husband is giving me another unlimited opportunity to grow. And as long as I've been with this joker, he's giving me one day after day after day. Thank you, honey. I'm going to fix you dinner tonight. You know, I'm going to go take you out to the movie. That's what you'd be saying if you really realized that. You see what I'm saying? But if I can't look at it like that, and I'm condemning the person all the time, and I'm asking for that person to make sacrifices for me all the time, and I believe that, you know, sometimes the most depressing things that happens when I do counseling with couples is I give them solutions for how to stay together. They didn't want to hear that. Then it comes there. You don't see them jump. Thank you so much for getting us away to stay together. You know, it's like okay. We'll see if we can do it. You know, it's like wow. I mean, you had an opportunity to stay together. You had an opportunity to join, and it depresses you. See, that's what I'm seeing. It's like, see, what we got to get is that we can't lose, because God is everywhere and the truth is everywhere and love is everywhere. So if you stay, what you got to get to the point, I think, from what the Course is teaching us, is we got to get to the point that it's okay if I stay and okay if I go. It's okay if I stay, but we got to also make it equally cool for the person who chooses to go to L.A. But we don't want to do that. See, we want to judge the person that chooses to go to L.A. as somehow or another something's wrong with them. They didn't know how to stick it out. Because if I choose to make my sacrifice, I damn sure want everybody else to make theirs too. Else I'm going to call them irresponsible. But if I was glad to stay in my situation, I sure wouldn't be upset with you, whatever you have done. Whenever I end a relationship, or a relationship ends with anybody that I've ever been in a relationship with, they have no idea how much I want them to be happy. They would be freaked out if they knew, honestly, how much I want them to be happy. Because I've noticed that happy people don't give you a hard time. It's just the most amazing thing that I've noticed in my short few years on this planet, is that when somebody's happy, they're more forgiving, they'll kind of let things go. They might even call you back and say, you know, Earl, I hope everything's well. I hope you found somebody really wonderful, because I'm sure having a great time. You see what I'm saying? But the minute they get miserable, or the minute somebody's miserable, they tend to want to make everybody else around them miserable too. There is absolutely no advantage to wanting people that you don't like to be miserable.
Wow.
You're just increasing the possibility they'll bring some misery into your life. Because they know you. You know what I'm saying? If they're miserable, then if when someone mentions your name, they're going to disparage you. If they're happy, they probably won't. Because they won't want to spread the negative energy. They probably go, you know, oh, Earl, he really was pretty cool. Because I'm so happy. You know, it's amazing how happiness works. It's so practical.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It is so impractical to stay miserable. It's so impractical to keep yourself sad. Guilt is so impractical. Not letting yourself be loved and give yourself the things you love. It's totally impractical. Let me get this next paragraph. This next paragraph is cold-blooded. You with me? And believe me, y'all are hearing this from a control freak. Just get clear about that. So if you hear me talking about giving up control and letting people not obey my rules, you have no idea. So hear that coming out of me, it's like I feel like I'm channeling. It's like, who in the hell is this? You know, you've done it before. You were nicer than you intended to be. You know, we've all had that experience. I was supposed to have cussed her out. What happened? I said, bless you. Who was that? You know, your loving self will start taking over and start coming through when you least expect it. And I love that. I love when the real me comes through and does its thing, and then people think I'm that way. I want to pass this around. This is a mailing list. When you get a chance, I like to kind of get it. I want to change myself for the better over the next few weeks, and part of it have something to do with letting this come through more and doing different things. So I want to be able to let you know about it. But I won't be calling you trying to get you in some multi-level marketing program. Not that I got anything against multi-level marketing programs. Okay. Now, the Course says there's a gap between us that's really not there, but the gap between us is filled with toys in countless forms, right? It looks like there's a gap between us, right? But the Course says it's not there. But what is it filled with? Toys in countless forms. Right? And including people. And said each one of these things here, right, seems to break the rules you set for it. That's why people are upset all the time, right? He says because it was never the thing you thought. And now I used to wonder, what did the Course mean by it never was the thing I thought? Well, he says that when you're unconscious and you're not really totally aware of who you are and you're operating from fear, you think the purpose of everything and everyone around you is to serve you. Mm-hmm. So you not being the thing I thought means that you're not just here to serve me, which was the thing I thought. That you were here to somehow make me happy. Please me. I just think people are somehow or another supposed to please me, and all my grievances around them not doing it. Right? Some of y'all get real with me in a minute and admit it. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all got that face of innocence that makes you think that things happen to you that you didn't have nothing to do with because you're so nice. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Of course, because of the face of innocence. It's the one that's so wet with tears and all the injustices that the world would do to somebody who would be nice. You know, I wouldn't have blew them away, but that just couldn't happen. You know, okay, you know, good old true student, got their affirmation, their mace, and their 45. So the Course says, whatever around you that you is not the thing that you thought, so it must appear to break your rules for safety since the rules were wrong. He said, but you are not endangered. Hey, now. He said, but you, just because y'all broke my rules and I broke your rules, of course, you are not endangered. And this is what we need to realize. I might be upset with you because you broke my rule, but I'm not endangered, and you're not endangered. And so the Court says that you can laugh at popping heads, you can laugh at squeaking toys, as does the child who learns that they're no threat to him. So when you get in touch with who you really are, you can laugh at all the people around you breaking the rules that you made up for how you think things were supposed to go, the ones you know you can't be hurt, and the ones you're centered in yourself, and the ones you know your power, you don't get so upset. Said about, he says, now this is the key sentence to me. He says, while you like to play with them, you still perceive them as obeying rules you made for your enjoyment. So I want you to obey the rules that I made for my enjoyment while I want to play with you. I want you to obey the rules I made for my enjoyment as long as I want to play with you. So there still are rules that you can seem to break and frighten me. Why? Because I still want you to obey the rules that I made up for my enjoyment. So I just made up some rules that you can still break, which is always the rules that I made up for my enjoyment. That's the rules that people can always break. So when you make up a rule for your enjoyment, just recognize you've made up a rule that somebody can break. So if they break it, you won't freak out and you won't lose your peace because you knew it wasn't a real rule. It was just a rule you made for your enjoyment. That's my whole life, too. My whole life is getting up in the morning, coming up with a bunch of rules for my enjoyment that day, and then trying to get everybody to do it by guilt-tripping the hell out of them some kind of way. Which I call is my getting upset, my getting angry, my somehow or another, I'm upset because you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. You're disobeying the rules I made for my enjoyment. So you can always do that, so there always could be something that you could do unexpectedly to freak me out. So if I stay conscious enough to realize that everybody... I want everybody to obey the rules I made up for my enjoyment, then if they do that, I can be really happy about that. And if they don't do it, I won't freak out.
Right.
Because I know they were just rules I made for my enjoyment. Absolutely, because the rules that my ego make up for my enjoyment are always things that don't last. That's why pleasure is nothing but a passing joy. It's a joy that don't last very long, and we call it a pleasure. And the Course says, don't you want some joy and some happiness that doesn't end? Aren't y'all kind of tired of feeling good one minute and not feeling good the next minute, being up one day and being down the next day, feeling love one day and feeling afraid? So aren't you kind of tired of the merry-go-round of hell? And so some people are, like me. I'm one of the people that go, okay, I've had about 900 quadrillion incarnations now, been here, done that, great sunset, great ocean, still going to enjoy it, but I'm ready to also recognize who I really am and have something that does not end. I want something real. Anybody else?
Yeah.
And that's not a condemnation of the world. That's not a condemnation of wanting the house. That's not a condemnation of wanting the car. That's not a condemnation of wanting the things that are... But those are the toys and trinkets of the world. So you know, since they're the toys and trinkets of the world, that they may not obey your rules. So if you don't get one, you're okay. If you do get one, okay. If you get the car, okay. If you don't get the car, okay. You don't matter because you know it's a toy in the gap between us while we're pretending that we're separate and forgetting who we really are. Then while I'm forgetting who I really am and thinking you're separate from me, I can ride down the street in a Porsche. I can ride down the street in a Porsche in total forgetfulness. On the way to remembering. It doesn't matter. As long as I understand, okay, this is a toy, right? So it's going to also not obey the rules that I made up for my enjoyment. And the rules I made for my enjoyment, you should never break down. You should never have a flat. You should always crank up in the morning, right? Because these are the rules I made up for my enjoyment. So when I go out in the morning and my car doesn't crank up, I don't freak out because I know what? It's just a rule I made up for my enjoyment about a toy that doesn't last. So then I don't freak out when the car stops. I stay calm, call the mechanic, whatever it is I need to do, because this is a toy that is not permanent.
So it's prosperity?
Total prosperity, because I'm not staying in a state of grievance all the time because things that are not real are not lasting.
Right.
Right. It's like, why do I put oil in my car? Because it's an illusion. If it was a real car, I wouldn't need no oil. You know, whatever is real lasts. Whatever is real is perfect. Whatever is real is whole. Whatever is real is not giving us a problem. And so the Course to me is like, people say, well, you think it's an illusion, you're not going to take care of your body. No, I take care of my body because I know it's an illusion. That's great. To me, I got much more conscious of taking care of myself physically than once I studied the Course than I did when I thought it was real. Because when I thought it was real, I didn't take care of it. Because I just thought it was going to last forever without my help.
So why get so hung up about abundance?
Why not? Why not get hung up about anything? Well, for one thing, most people will tell you that the reason why they're not doing the things that they want to do is because they don't have enough money. So I think every time we sit up here and pretend like money doesn't matter to us, but at the same time we crying about any form of lack of bills, we deep in denial and just playing with ourselves. Because if money really didn't matter, you really wouldn't care if you didn't have none. And you'd be perfectly okay if you couldn't buy nothing. And so if I care, then it's my idol. If I give my peace away about it, it's my idol. That's what the Course says. How can you take what he said? An idol is nothing but a false idea that you put between yourself and what's true. One false idea that I put between myself and what's true is, I have a false idea that there may be some lack in my life in some way. That what's true is I'm the abundant child of God and there's nothing lacking in my life. So the lack that I'm experiencing right now is nothing but a reflection of the false idea that I put between myself and my own abundance. And this anger that I'm feeling right now is nothing but a false idea that I put between me and my own peace. And this loneliness I'm feeling right now is nothing but the reflection of a false idea I put between me and my joining.
But abundance is real.
Abundance is real.
It's true.
Abundance is true. Abundance is the one thing that's real. Lack isn't true. And the Course says we are all tired because it takes a lot of energy to maintain misery. It takes a lot of energy to maintain that weary. It takes a lot of energy to maintain that grievance about what your mama did when you were 6 years old, because you got to keep on remembering it every now moment, even though that moment is past and there's nothing to remind you of it but yourself. So since you got to keep remembering stuff that's not happening no more, it's a strain. So then you tell people about it so they'll help you and not let you forget it. If I tell you how much I hate my daddy, you'll help me remember. Because without your help, I forget I hate him and why. Heaven forbid I do that. Because the only thing that happened would be all the grievances that I've ever had that's blocked all of my relationships, happiness, and joy would be gone. And all of a sudden, all the stuff that I thought was denied me would start to instantaneously appear in my life. That's what would happen if I let go of that grievance against my daddy. But I can't let my dad off the hook and make him think it was okay what he did to me. So in order to keep him always feeling guilty, I'll become a living picture of how horrible he is, so he'll never forget. But the part of that that sucks is that I got to be miserable in order to show him the picture. So I got to stay unhappy just to let everybody know what they did to me.
You gotta stay there.
And I got to stay that way. They got to look at me and see how miserable I am. How many times you talk to somebody and they was really, really miserable when you were talking to them, and then the phone rang and they went, "Hey, hello, yeah, girl, I understand." Then the phone goes, they go, letting you know right then and there that it's an illusion. They could change their mind. They could feel the same way that they were when they were talking on the phone with the phone down. That it was just a choice that they made. In that instant, they chose to let their happy self come out. We have so much power, it's ridiculous. We are so powerful, it's ridiculous. And when it really hits you one day how much there's nothing externally making you unhappy, and you realize the power of your own decision to change the way that you feel from moment to moment, you're going to see the possibilities of being happy all day long, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to feel your feelings, and you're going to let that anger come and go right through you, and you're not going to deny it because you don't want it to hang around, so you'll admit that you're mad right now and let it move on. Then you admit you're depressed right now and you let it move on. Then you'll feel like you're angry right now and you just let that anger move through you. Then you weary, you just let that weary move through you. You won't make any attempt to hang on to it and analyze it, because in analyzing it, you got to keep it in front of you for you to break it apart. And so if I'm going to analyze my anger, I got to keep it before my face so I can look at it. If I just feel my anger and let it go through, then the love behind the anger comes through next. So it's not about repression, it's just about not judging it as it goes through. See what I mean? See, we get in a spiritual path and we believe you're not supposed to be angry no more. So every time you get angry, you make yourself feel guilty, and you beat yourself up because you don't stay peaceful all the time. And that just makes you more separate. Where if you would just admit, right now, how do you feel? Right now, I feel really sad. I feel depressed. I feel like a victim. I feel like things are not going right for me. I feel. Get that? I feel like you don't like me. I feel separate from you.
My ego feels.
You can say it any way you want to. But you see what I'm talking about?
Recognize it better.
Yeah, just recognize that there's nothing to feel guilty about. It's a toy that's filling your gap. And that you're upset at some level because there's some rule that you made up for your happiness that something or somebody is disobeying. So I could, instead of saying I'm angry at somebody, I could say, you know what? I'm feeling like somebody's disobeying the rules that I've made for my happiness right now. I'll be with you in a minute. what's wrong? My child is disobeying the rules that I made for my happiness tonight. I got to go take care of it. My husband is disobeying the rules that I made up for my happiness tonight. I got to go talk to him. Do you know what happened last night at that party? You were disobeying the rules that I made for my happiness when you was over there talking to that girl. If you were to talk that way to yourself, you transform your whole consciousness. You become a master. Because you would always be empowering yourself. You would always be telling yourself the truth. Yo, I made up some rules. I like to squeeze you and hold you and be around you, and I made up some rules for you, and you disobeying the rules that I made up. It's just because you disobeyed these rules that I made up. It doesn't mean you deceived me. It just means that you are not obeying laws that never were real to begin with. So as long as I keep aware that you could always break the rules that I've made up for my enjoyment, then I won't get so freaked out if you do. Because that's why I'm freaked out, because you broke the rule. What is that? You saying that that means that people shouldn't be in integrity? Blah, 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 blah. It would be great if everybody was in integrity. But if they're not, you don't want them to freak out. That's all I'm saying. It would be wonderful if everybody kept their word, but don't you want to be on a level of consciousness that if they didn't, it couldn't touch you, couldn't harm you, couldn't hurt you?
Yes.
It wouldn't bother you at all if everybody deceived you, betrayed you, and didn't do what they wanted you to do. They didn't do anything right, but you were like totally invulnerable because you never expected them to do it right anyway, because you knew they were rules that you made up for your enjoyment and therefore were not real. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they kept that rule? And I love you for keeping that rule, and I'll give you flowers for keeping that rule, and I think it's wonderful that you keep that rule. But if you don't keep that rule, I know it was a made up rule, and I'll deal with it. I can say, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to handle that, so I'm going to move out of the relationship, or maybe I'll stay in the relationship. But the one thing I won't be is freaked out that it happened, because I would have already entertained the possibility that you could be inconsistent because it was a rule I made up for my enjoyment. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden, so I'm not saying you wouldn't make agreements or that you wouldn't expect people to keep their agreements. You just wouldn't freak out if they broke it, and you would all automatically have a contingency plan in your mind. Because you know that it was a rule that you all made up, an agreement that you all made up, so therefore it wasn't a real law of God, so therefore they could unexpectedly do something different. Because it wasn't a law of God, it was a law of man, it was an agreement we made up. As long as I like to play with you, there's going to always be rules that I make up for my enjoyment of you. And so there's going to always be a possibility that you, that's a you, Chuck, you are going to disobey. And you're going to do, you might do your own thing, your own way, and not do it the way that I've decided you should do it. And if I want to be a truly peaceful spiritual aspirant, all I need to do is stay aware of how illusionary my rules for enjoyment are. Because you deserve to be happy, and happiness is an internal matter.
But I have a question. So, because what happens sometimes is you have rules, and there's other people that also believe in those rules too. And if you don't stand up for your rules, sometimes people view that as you being a victim. Because you didn't stand up for your rules.
The point of the lesson, though, I think, Tammy, is that we never forget that they're just made of rules. How you choose to deal with the rules is up to you. Whether you think that you need to insist that you let everybody know about how they're disobeying your rules so that they won't run over you, that's however you want to deal with your rules, that's up to you. What the Course is saying, though, is that what's causing our fear and upset is that we act like the rules are real. I have every right to want you to respect the agreements that we made. I'm going to get hurt, though, whenever I deceive myself into thinking that just because we made these agreements and just because we made these rules, they are based on something real, and that you couldn't unexpectedly do something different other than what I have agreed and you have agreed that you should do. See, being realistic means taking into consideration the whole, that there's two sides to it. I'm going to be faithful to you, but there's always a possibility that I might not be. But there's always a possibility that you may be. But if you don't, I already know that possibility is there. So it certainly wouldn't freak me out as much as I said that I knew this made-up agreement that we had between each other was totally invulnerable forever. You see what I mean? See the difference? One is I'm making up a rule and I'm acting like that rule cannot be broken. And you know that rule can be broken. You may not choose to break it or you might break it. But I need to keep in mind that it's just a rule that I have made up for my own enjoyment of you and that you've made up for your enjoyment of me. But there still was just something we made up. Which means at any point in time, you could unexpectedly or I could unexpectedly do something other than what the rules are. And then that's going to hurt me if I've deceived myself into thinking that the rule that we made up is based on a universal, unbreakable spiritual law. Because there are universal laws that you can't break, even if you want to. Like the law of you have to be it to have it. Whatever you want, you have to be it. That's a law that's true whether you want to agree with it or not. That your thoughts make your perception of reality. That's a law, whether you want to agree with me or not. It is your thoughts that make your perception of reality. But if I say, Tammy, will you agree to always wear those shoes for the next 20 years? And then you say, Earl, I promise, I now pronounce you man in shoe. Then, and I go, okay, she's promised me that she'll never take those shoes off. Those shoes are a symbol of her love for me. See, I've set myself up. Because if she ever decides to take those shoes off, I'm going to swear she betrayed me, but she really didn't. She just no longer obeyed a rule that I made up for my enjoyment that wasn't based on anything true in the first place.
So how about if I have a rule about how the world out there, that they're going to be able to support me in practicing principles from the Course in Miracles?
Okay.
So I have a rule about that.
Right. Great question.
And so when they're saying, oh, Tammy, you're just being a victim, you know, how can you just let that go?
Very easily, by recognizing that you made up the rules for how people were supposed to support you in the Course in Miracles.
How wonderful that you're able to be in love and allow that person to be who they are and that...
You sense what you're looking for them to say back?
Right.
That's okay. That proves the whole, and that proves the whole lesson for tonight. Again, because that's a totally unrealistic assumption for you to make, because you know you're in a world where people don't know how to practice the truth consistently yet, because you don't. So since you don't, you're certainly not going to be in a world of perception of people who do. Now, I think that would be a reasonable expectation if you were always 100% consistent. But since you know you aren't, you know no one around you is either. That's the law. You can't be around anybody that's really different from yourself. They just do the same things you do at a different time. We all just do the same things at different times. You happy today, I'm sad today. You sad tomorrow, I'm happy tomorrow. You're angry today, I feel peaceful today. I don't understand why you're angry. I see you tomorrow, you mad as hell. And I'm saying, boy, I can't understand why you're upset. We all feel this. You felt jealousy 10 years ago. I felt jealousy last night. We all feel the exact same things. We just all feel them at different times. We all are totally inconsistent. We totally do not do the same thing the same way all the time. None of us do. But then we'll crucify anybody else who doesn't do it. When I do it, I should be forgiven. When you do it, you should be punished and hung from the highest tree. That's the way we play the game. And so we keep ourselves in a world of condemnation and punishment because we're getting upset with everybody for being like us at a different time. So forgiveness is recognizing everybody's just like me and my being willing to be understanding of their inconsistency creates a state of consciousness where I attract people to me who are understanding of my inconsistency. Because when my mind becomes forgiving, the minds of the people that I draw to me become forgiving, then I get the support that I'm looking for, not because of a rule that I made up, but because of a state of mind. See, it's different to have something come to you because of a state of mind and having something come to you because of a rule you made up in a belief system. So we're trying to reach the state of mind that creates consistent love by being forgiven of ourselves as we're inconsistent in our love. All right? So can we acknowledge ourselves for hearing this much tonight? You all are so inspirational! Woo! Woo! Don't try not to analyze this too much. Try not to, you know, just get the tape and listen to it again. Because if you listen, if you heard me correctly, what you probably have done is you feel lighter and you're more forgiving of yourself. That's how you can tell when you've heard it correctly. You know, because you'll go, I don't have to deceive myself anymore. I don't have to be hurt the way I used to be hurt. Boy, it's great if everybody acted out and do what they said they're going to do, and I do what I say I'm going to do, and we all keep our agreements. But you know what? I know that these are made up agreements and rules, so there's always a possibility that they might not. So if they do, I won't lose my mind because I wasn't unrealistic in expecting them to always be consistent no matter what. I left. That's powerful.
That explains road rage.
That totally explains road rage. So, thank you for sharing with me. I teach the course full time in my life, and I want to tell you I appreciate your generosity and appreciation of what comes through me. It allows me to keep doing what I'm doing. And I really want to be of service. There's nothing that turns me on more than to tell you people how cool you are.
Way to go.
Even if we forget. I need help to remember. Am I cool too? Thank you. I need to hear it too. I got people think I'm beyond needing it. I'm teaching what I need to learn. I'm teaching what I need to learn. Teaching what I need to learn. Okay, when I pass this bag around, I'm going to take a statement out of this prosperity book. Thank you for sharing. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit choose a good abundance statement for us. Good snack. Whew, I love it. Oh, here's a good one. I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe. Like that one. I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe. Is there anyone that's willing to join me aloud with their thoughts? I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe. Funk it up a little. I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe. Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. Unlimited abundance of the universe. Yeah. Listen now. I am linked with the abundance of the universe. Now. I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe. Right now. Unlimited abundance of the universe right now. I allow my success right now. I allow my success right now. So what? I allow my success right now. That sounds good. I allow my success right now. I am linked with the unlimited abundance of the universe.
Right now.
Right now. I thank my Creator for its gifts to me. And I ask for everyone in this room to have abundance and love. One of the surest ways to attract it to yourself is to extend it to everybody else. So silently, we want to say, let abundance extend from my mind to yours. 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 Let love extend from my mind to yours. Let love extend from my mind to yours. Let love extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. May the course be with you. See you next time, my saviors.
All right. Woo! Woo!
Remember, somebody may disobey the rules you've made for your happiness.
They were there.